Now I would like to offer you three poems that are in very singular voices. And these are poems about, well, two of them are poems about fathers, and one of them is a poem about being a father. And I'm just going to read all three of them in a row with a little space between them. And again, just listen for the words or phrases, or watch in your imagination for the images that sing for you, either the ones that feel like they speak your heart or the ones that make you think, I have to think about that some more. This first poem is by Li Young Li, and it's called The Gift. To pull the metal splinter from my palm, my father recited a story in a low voice. I watched his lovely face and not the blade. Before the story ended, he'd removed the iron sliver I thought I would die from. I don't remember the tale, but hear his voice still. A well of dark water, a prayer. And I recall his hands, two measures of tenderness he laid against my face, the flames of discipline he raised above my head. Had you entered that afternoon, you would have thought you saw a man planting something in a boy's palm, a silver tear, a tiny flame. Had you followed that boy, you would have arrived here, where I bend over my wife's right hand. Look how I shave her thumbnail down so carefully that she feels no pain. Watch as I lift the splinter out. I was 7 when my father took my hand like this. And I did not hold that shard between my fingers and think, metal that will bury me, or going deep for my heart. I did not lift up my wound and cry, death visited here. I did what a child does when he is given something to keep. I kissed my father. Starlight by Philip Levine. My father stands in the warm evening on the porch of my first house. I am 4 years old and growing tired. I see his head among the stars and the glow of his cigarette, redder than the summer moon riding low over the old neighborhood. We are alone and he asks me if I am happy. Are you happy? I cannot answer. I do not really understand the word. And the voice, my father's voice, is not his voice, but somehow thick and choked, a voice I have not heard before, but have heard often since. He bends and passes a thumb beneath each of my eyes. He's found nothing, and he smiles, holds my head with both his hands. Then he lifts me to his shoulder, and now I too am there among the stars, as tall as he. Are you happy? I say. He nods and answers, yes, oh yes, yes. And in that new voice, he says nothing, holding my head tight against his head His eyes closed up against the starlight, as though those tiny blinking eyes of light might find a tall, gaunt child holding his child against the promises of autumn until the boy slept, never to waken in that world again. This is a poem by George Barlow, who was one of my teachers in college. And if you are, if you listen to jazz, excuse me, you will recognize some of the references to jazz music here. Cannonball. All of this blooming is lovely, and it has challenges, doesn't it? Cannonball and Birdland are ways to talk about jazz music. The poem, however, is called Gas. My woman says it's gas in my daughter's belly that makes her flash a quick smile from time to time. I say it's magic and love. Deranged from no sleep, bright images of an easy birth still oozing in and out of my head, I sit rocking my firstborn, a tiny rosebud only 8 days old. From the stereo grooves in a jam on the box, Cannonball cuddles her softly in jazz. In the warm wings of Birdland, alto lullaby, alto love. Soulfully, he blows two sleepy people. And my dawn eyes stop burning as that budding little flower smiles quickly in her sleep. It can't be gas. It has to be magic. Cannonball and the sweet horn, love and her old man's rocking heartbeat. That's what makes her bloom. A colleague of mine posted a question on Facebook asking people, I know, but it's a good way to find questions, asking people to share their memories of moments of tender comfort from their mothers or their fathers. And I was sad to read how many responses said that people had gotten very little tenderness from their parents. I know that it's true, but then when you see it written out all in a line, well, it's sad, because I know that every person, every living being needs that tenderness. And I'm also pretty convinced that everyone has it in there to give. It's just a matter of how much it's gotten covered up by the harsh things that we deal with in our lives. And you know that harshness can come in a thousand different ways. It's different for men and for women, different for people who are white and people who are brown. It is amazing that we have figured out as much as we have figured out in this world, given how hard things can be. So maybe you have a story of a father who offered you tenderness, who took a splinter from your hand, who rocked you to sleep. Maybe you don't have that story. Father's Day is about honoring both the fathers just as they are, however that is, and honoring ourselves just as we are, in the whole complexity of that story. And this is why we have church. This is why we get together like this, so that we can hold even the most painful and fraught situations with a little tenderness, at least for a couple of breaths. And also to be able to stand the tenderness that we have for this wonderful world, for the ways that we do meet each other, and for the love that is present in our lives. That too can be overwhelming and hard to bear. And so we sit here so that maybe for a breath or two we can stand to be fully in it. That is why I love that Whitman reading. He has that sense of expansiveness about how wonderful it is. And if you read more of Whitman, you know that he does not turn away from the hard parts. But he says, the wonder everyone sees in everyone else he sees, and the wonders that fill each minute of time forever. He doesn't just believe that we are a blooming of this beautiful world. It's something that he experienced in a very visceral way. That's the inherent worth and dignity of all people in its most starstruck form. So I thought about Whitman this week when some of the painful things unfolded in the news. How would Whitman respond to what happened with Philando Castile? And what about Cosby? What would he say? How would he inspire us to respond? He wanted to call out the wild diversity of our hearts and let us live in this world. So I keep Whitman's big-hearted claim for everything in my ear when I am confronting these difficult stories and the oppressions that keep unfolding. Whitman was very sure that big beauty and big love was the truest thing, and that we have the power to keep living in that and to keep speaking up for it, the goodness, and speaking up for all of the wonder. He was never shy about it. And he would have his moments of grief and not go back to being discouraged or forgetful again. He would just talk about everything. I think he was one of those people who would be at a party and he would just talk to you about whatever was on his mind. Just share what he was thinking about and not wonder if it was a good time. In our communities, it is easy to go back after you read the news and just feel numb because it's hard to know what to do. Whitman does not let us feel numb. He says, feel it all. The fear, the guilt, the sorrow, the anger, and the great tenderness for life. Our work is to keep talking about the most difficult things and to keep finding all of that tenderness. So after that great wild sweep of Whitman, I went and found those little moments of wonder and tenderness. Lee Young Lee's dad taking a splinter out of his hand. Lee Young Lee's father could be a harsh and demanding man, and also so tender. And that tenderness is a gift that was put into Lee Young Lee's hand, and he carried with him forever. And Philip Levine and his dad standing there looking at the stars and his father weeping because he and his child stood under the stars together. And that last poem, George Barlow's little early morning praise song to the magic of this life. These moments can seem very small, just the splinters and that little passing smile of a newborn. And they can carry us through so much. You too carry that tenderness in your lives. You too are part of that magic.